Welcome back. This is Category 5 Technology TV, and tonight I am joined by Jonathan Bahai. Jonathan, thank you so much for being here with us tonight.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Jonathan is the founder of EXE Block, and it is something that we've been talking about on the show because we see these comments on YouTube. We get these emails from our viewers asking about things like cryptocurrency and the blockchain. So we've been talking a little bit about the blockchain and cryptocurrency, but I am by no means a professional when it comes to these topics. So the best thing for me to do to answer your questions is to bring on professionals who are way more versed at these complicated topics than I am, and that's where Jonathan comes in. So Jonathan, it's great to have you here. Can you explain to us a little bit about your history on how you got involved in this blockchain technology?
Sure. Actually, it has a little bit to do with why I am broadcasting from this particular location. Back in 2012, I acquired a 64,000 square foot nuclear bunker located in Nova Scotia, Canada. It was one of the original Cold War bunkers that was created by the Government of Canada back in the day. They're referred to as Diefenbunkers. And so I was lucky enough to be able to acquire this one. And back then, I was in the data center business. So I looked at this as an infrastructure type of place which had unique cooling capabilities. And back in 2009 is when Bitcoin started. And around that time, I was already interested in blockchain. And I started to look at the possibility of being able to use this facility for mining Bitcoin. So as I explored that possibility, I realized that there was a lot of issues that surrounded Bitcoin itself in regards to how it works, the risks involved in mining. I really couldn't bring myself to get into that kind of risk, I guess. Mm. But my interest in blockchain continued to explore the space. And that's when I started to discover other types of projects that were out there. And the project that I gravitated towards most was called BitShares. BitShares is a decentralized exchange. It's actually a blockchain which offers exchange functions. And so back then, this was about 2013, 2014, I started getting very heavily involved in that particular blockchain. And that's where all my understanding of blockchain came from, the technology. It's very different from how Bitcoin works. Mm. Back then, I became what's called a witness. That's basically a node operator, similar to miners, but the actual computing requirements are very different. It's much more efficient, doesn't take a lot of power, actually uses the same kind of hardware that my server farm was made of. So it was very easy for me to be able to make that move. And of course, I gained support from the stakeholders because that system works on a voting mechanism rather than working on proof of work like Bitcoin, where you just throw as much computing power as you can at the network and you hopefully get a share of it. The type of network, the type of consensus that that network works by is called delegated proof of stake, which means that everybody who has a stake in the network votes for who is going to secure the network. So you have to be able to prove your trustworthiness, your technical prowess in order to gain the support of everybody who are stakeholders in the network. So I was able to do that. And over the years, I, of course, went on to get involved in the launching of Steam, which is another blockchain, which actually is focused on being able to provide content. It's almost like a type of a Reddit. But the difference is that when you share your content on that blockchain, the blockchain actually pays you for sharing that blockchain, for being able to share the content.
So when you say Steam, this is not related to the gaming platform? This is something entirely different, just same name?
Yeah, so it's spelled S-T-E-E-M. So it's short for Steam. If you go to steamit.com, you'll be able to see it. And that particular blockchain basically flipped the whole model of content on its side, because what happens is that you're able to produce content and actually be paid based on its popularity from the blockchain itself. And so over the years, that has gained momentum. These two blockchains alone that I've just mentioned, which I was involved in over the years, now account for 60% of all the blockchain activity taking place in the world today. Okay. So you take a look at Ethereum, it accounts for approximately maybe 30% the entire network. Mm-hmm. And you look at Bitcoin, it's maybe 10%. Really? And then everything else is just, you know, a little sliver is the rest of everything else that's out there.
Huh. So let's back up a little bit. Are you underground?
Yes. So this facility is approximately goes 40 feet underground. It's
cool.
It's quite large. This particular space we're in now is actually my office, but there's many different facets to this facility. So this is where we develop from, the X Block team.
Yeah.
This is also where, continuing my story into blockchain, after Steam, I actually went on to actually create my own blockchain, and it's called PurePlays.
Okay.
So with that, I use the same type of technology which was behind those other two I just mentioned. And what PurePlays does is it's dedicated to provably fair gaming. What that does is it solves the problems that exist today in regards to the gaming industry with being able to provide proof of all the transactions that take place in an audit trail.
And I want to talk about this whole, like, how the industry is using the blockchain. But before we jump too far ahead here, Jonathan, you're talking about the blockchain and how this is created an entire business for you. Can we just, if we could, just break for a moment and just say, let's talk lay terms here. What, in your words, would you consider is the blockchain? Like, can we just break it down real quick before we start getting into the uses for it?
Sure. So, you know, a lot of people talk about the various things that make up a blockchain. I like to break it down into just four simple things. Okay.
Okay.
If you have these four simple things, you have a decentralized public blockchain. All right. Number one, you have to have a consensus mechanism. So I mentioned earlier proof of work, I mentioned delegated proof of stake. So what that means is that there's a consensus mechanism in order to determine how the consensus of the blockchain is going to be determined. All right. There's different ways of doing this, but proof of work and proof of stake are generally the most used. And then you have number two, you have an incentive structure of some kind. We know in Bitcoin, for example, the incentive structure for miners is that they want to be able to mine on Bitcoin because they're going to receive Bitcoin for providing that computing power. So there has to be some kind of incentive structure that aligns the interests of the people who maintain the blockchain with maintaining it and being able to make it so that it's actually decentralized.
Mm-hmm.
Third thing is to have some kind of a ledger. Every single blockchain has a ledger. We know it as a distributed ledger. And all that really is that there's copies of the ledger that are replicated and duplicated all across the various node operators that are all over the world. And then fourth, you have some kind of smart contract. So in the case of cryptocurrencies, for example, Bitcoin's smart contract is providing a token, is providing a coin. Right. In Ethereum, there's all kinds of different applications that are being created with smart contracts that are programmable to do various things.
Mm-hmm.
For BitShares that I just talked about, its smart contract is a series of operations to provide a decentralized exchange. So it's able to provide multiple tokens. It's able to provide exchange functions. So as long as you have some kind of smart contract system, which simply broken down is if this, then that. Then you have, with all these four elements, you have a decentralized blockchain. Now, there are ways to be able to create a blockchain without these four elements, but what you have then is something that's quite different. Just think of it like baking a cake. So I can relate to.
So that's a little simpler. This is because, you know, this is the simplified version. It's no wonder that the blockchain is so confusing to so many. Like, this is... I can't imagine how much you've had to immerse yourself in this technology.
Yeah, well, I'll admit, when I first got involved, it took me a long time to really grasp how things worked and what it all meant. It's not easy to be able to shift your way of thinking to be able to really comprehend it all. But when you have these four things, they really make up what is the magic, which is really the disruption opportunity of blockchain. But when you try to take away certain things, you're able to create something that isn't blockchain. It's almost like imagining, like I said, you bake a cake. Let's just take away the eggs, right? Okay. And you might have, you might come up with something, and if you've never had cake before, you might think you're eating cake, but you're not eating cake.
A right. vegan egg substitute.
right. So a lot of people are out there. They're creating variations of what blockchain technology has to offer.
Okay.
And it doesn't really offer – it really doesn't do what the promise of blockchain has with it. You have to have all the ingredients in it in order for it to work.
Okay. Can we talk about – now, I got a message on YouTube from Circuit Man. And Circuit Man has some very valid questions, points that I'd like to share with you and just kind of get your opinion and your expertise on these points. So if I may, Circuit Man says, so I can see blockchain solving some complex issues going forward. I don't think it's changing our daily life as we know it in any dramatic way. Since everyone will have their own blockchain, you will still have to trust that blockchain for the piece of fruit, for example, put out by the company that sells that fruit. So I just don't see how it would be any more trustworthy than just looking at, say, a label today. I also see crypto coins as being a sort of a fad. Until I can pay my mortgage or car payment with it, I can't take it too seriously as a currency. I was correct about the stock market and the housing bubble, and I'm pretty sure I'm right about this. Not one country is behind cryptocurrency, and unless a big country gets behind it or all the banks behind it, then it is going no place, and I'm more convinced of this today than ever. I could be wrong, however, I don't believe I am. Time will tell. One final thought from Circuit Man. One of the biggest problems we're facing today is no one stops and says, just because we can do a thing, should we? I see so many things being developed today that would be best left on a drawing board. As a human species, we really need to take a few steps back and look at what's being done and say, is it really a good idea, ethically, morally? We won't, because people get excited by the tech and can't see past the cool factor. And that's really a shame. Now, that comes to us from Circuit Man, and we're speaking with Jonathan Bahai. He's the founder of X Block. And Jonathan, your comments to Circuit Man.
There's a lot of comments there. I'll do my best to address them all. Mm-hmm. So in the beginning, he starts to talk about how everybody's going to have blockchains. This is an interesting presupposition about where the future is going and how blockchain tech would be used. What he's referring to really is what's called a private blockchain. And as I talked about earlier in regards to when you bake a cake and you take out the eggs, that is an example of something where the tech is being used in a way that really doesn't provide any good benefits. Mm. You end up really with a pretty fancy and actually inefficient database that doesn't really have any magic to it, other than being able to say, guess what, we're using blockchain, right? And right. So a lot of companies are doing this. In some cases, it works well in regards to being able to track inventory or being able to track supply chains. But what he's referring to are what are basically private blockchains.
So would like the Whopper coin fall into that category, for example, from Burger King? Is that the idea behind that?
That's a pretty good example of a hyped up type of a project. I don't really think there's a need for a Whopper coin, but
I don't know about that.
If they want to have their own rewards program, like almost like Air Miles, it certainly serves that function. And the great thing about it is that you don't have to worry about them taking away your points, because it's all cryptographically secured in your wallet, right?
Oh, so, okay.
There is one benefit.
There is that. Yep, there is that. And we've seen that where benefit programs where, you know, I've bought so many coffees at a certain coffee shop, and all of a sudden they decide, oh, we're going to switch our benefit program, and you've just lost all of your free coffees. So that would be a thing of the past, at least in this case?
Yeah, it's a small thing, and I don't think that's going to change our lives, as
Gideon's
referring to. But I don't think that we're going to see private blockchains like he's referring to as the future, where everybody's going to have blockchains. Okay. What we're going to see into the future, really, is public decentralized blockchains, because, again, that's where all the magic comes from. That's why everyone's so excited, because it creates a system where everybody is accountable, and it's not put all into the hands of a single counterparty, which is how all of our systems up until today have been based. We've always had some kind of a middleman, per se, or an escrow who was granted a
government.
What was that?
Or a government,
yes. And so with that, that's how all our systems have been designed. From the 1960s all the way up until now, all the technological advancements we've made in computing have been around being able to advance current computer processes or current business processes. How do we make this cheaper, better, faster? But today with blockchain, that just turns it upside down, because it doesn't even pay attention to those processes. Instead, we're talking about being able to do things peer-to-peer. We're talking about being able to have a bottom-up approach, where all the people who are part of the blockchain are actually deciding the direction in which things are going to go. So like I talked about with BitShares and Steam, where people are able to vote, the voting system allows for people to actually participate as part of the blockchain and being able to direct its direction. So in that regards, I don't see how private blockchains are really going to have a future other than being able to work alongside with public blockchains. So in his example, there would have to be some kind of a third-party validator of those other blockchains that would validate the transactions taking place and validating that information, in which case, yes, you can trust it, because it's actually being validated by multiple parties instead of just the company itself.
So it sounds like the evolution of the blockchain technology itself and the way that it is, I hate to use the word controlled, because the whole idea is of decentralization is that it's not controlled by any one entity, but there is a certain level of control over, hey, we're following a blockchain that is a public blockchain and is trusted. Is that, am I following you right on that?
Yeah. I mean, basically, when it comes to blockchain, I mean, and the excitement about it is that it's the capability of being able to transact value rather than transacting copies. The entire internet right now today, whenever you're sending information or you're sending images or you're sending anything, you're sending copies of everything. There's no originals, right? You're going to see the fabric of how the entire internet communication system actually changes as the foundation of that protocol actually switches over to a blockchain type protocol. When that happens, you're going to see everything switch over to a type of an edge security. So instead of having these giant centralized databases all over the world, which are being hacked all the time, and they're going to be hacked eventually, all that security gets pushed to the edge of the network and becomes decentralized, in which case it becomes a much harder target to be able to hack. Everybody talks about how Bitcoin has never been hacked. It's because of the architecture and how it works. Same thing with a lot of other blockchains that are out there. Mm-hmm. Any of the hacking stories that you've heard about in relation to blockchain have been largely the centralized exchanges. And those are because they are modeled around the typical type of computing systems that we have today. And you're just creating a target.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I hope that we've touched on Circuit Man's questions and comments quite well. And I think some of the conversation after our break is going to kind of circle back and help answer some of those questions as well. Before we do take a break, we've got a real quick question in the chat room as well. Over at the chat room, Jeff?
So the question is, you were just talking about public trust. With decentralized blockchain. And so when you're looking at things like what's recently gone on with Facebook, where there's possible regulatory oversight that now could be coming in place because of the issues with the data breach on Facebook, how do you deal with that from the blockchain standpoint if the governments start to say this is getting out of control, we want to put regulatory oversight on that? Do those two concepts conflict, or is there an ability to merge the interests on both sides?
So what's happening with Facebook is largely because, as I referred to just earlier, the massive amount of data which they are in control of. They are able to determine, based on their policies, how they're going to handle your data. In a blockchain world, there would be nobody who is handling your data. You would be in complete control of your data. You'd be able to determine what kind of privacy and privileges would be granted to anybody or any one entity to be able to access that information and then be able to deny access to that information. The whole market, which the internet largely is based on today, of being able to sell people's information is going to dwindle. You're going to see where, again, it's completely peer-to-peer, so you don't have any one entity that's controlling it. Governments, in terms of regulation, haven't been able to catch up with what's happening with the blockchain right now. Countries are just starting to form some opinions around it, but I believe it would be in the best interest of governments to understand that blockchains are actually self-regulating entities. What that means is that because it's bottom-up and because the people who participate in the blockchain are the stakeholders of the blockchain, they are going to work in the best interests of the blockchain in order to ensure that the rights and the responsibilities of everybody that's involved are going to be protected. Otherwise, it's not going to survive. It's going to move. It's what will happen is that people will move on to the blockchain that does protect everybody. So these entities, because they're able to self-regulate, it becomes something where the necessity of government oversight becomes redundant. And it also, because they're decentralized and they're all over the world, it's impossible to have any one country actually say something in regards to how things should operate. What we need to see is all the governments of the world be able to agree, and then we could come up with some kind of framework. But I think blockchain technology is going to go a lot faster than that happening.
Yeah, quite possibly. Yeah, for sure. Okay, so we've got to take a really quick break. We're speaking with Jonathan Bahai. He is the founder of XBlock, and we're speaking about the blockchain, but we're really trying to get to the gritty, the grit of what is the blockchain, how does it impact our lives, and what is going to change over the next little while, because I'm trying to get my head around it, folks. When we come back from our break, we're going to be speaking with Jonathan about how the blockchain is being used in the world today and what we're going to see it doing over the next little while that has nothing to do necessarily with cryptocurrency. Stick around.
Whether you shop on ThinkGeek, GearBest, B&H Photo Video, eBay, or Amazon, or even if you want a free trial of Audible, you'll find the best deals and support the shows we produce by simply visiting the shopping sites you already frequent by using the links on our website. Visit category5.tv/partners for the full and ever-growing list and help us create more free content like this show. Thank you for shopping with our partners, and thank you for watching.
Welcome back. This is Category 5 Technology TV. Before the break, we were speaking with Jonathan Bahai. He's the founder of XBlock, and we're speaking all about blockchain. And Jonathan, it is so nice to have you here, sharing your vast amounts of knowledge about the blockchain technology tonight. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right. So before the break, we were talking about, you know, what the blockchain is, how it's kind of impacting things as far as, and even touching a little bit on cryptocurrency. But what I want to know, and what I think some of our viewers are really looking to find out, is we started this talk a couple of weeks back about what the blockchain can be used for that is not cryptocurrency related. Are there things that are happening right now and that you see that are going to be happening in the near future that are going to be revolutionizing our world that utilize the blockchain technology?
Absolutely. Some people talk about blockchain in regards to being the next internet. Right now, where blockchain technology is at, if you can think back to the early 90s, when before the internet existed, there were things called BBSs.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
I ran a long time ago. Oh yeah, my era.
So blockchain today is about in that space right now, where every single blockchain is like a walled off garden, similar to how BBSs were before the internet. But the capability of being able to have interchain communication or side chains, that means that blockchains being able to communicate with one another, is coming. This is an important step. It seems like it should be a simple thing, but when you're trying to talk to two networks which are cryptographically secured, being able to have that transmit between each other is a difficult thing. So that technology, though, is becoming more mature. And as you see that happen, it's going to explode the possibilities of what can take place on blockchain. I mentioned earlier that I was earlier involved with BitShares and Steam. Mm-hmm. These projects are little known, but the fact is that they're not cryptocurrencies. They're actually services that are being built on the blockchain. They're application layer. So with BitShares, you have a decentralized exchange. With Steam, you have a blogging platform almost, which allows you to be able to post content. So these are functions. These are actually applications. At the same time, our company XBlock is in the process of building a decentralized application, which is called 5050 Labs. So 5050 Labs allows you to be able to run a 5050 draw entirely on the blockchain. So with that means that somebody can create a draw. It all exists on the blockchain. People can purchase their tickets. It all exists on the blockchain. They receive their tickets in the blockchain, and then they're able to actually have the draw settled by the blockchain. So this allows for being able to have no auditing. This allows for being able to have an auditing trail. It's completely transparent, and it's instant, and it's able to expand worldwide. So those are just a couple of examples of ways that it could be applied. But it's going to explode into so many other areas. The financial institutions, they're looking at cryptocurrencies because that's the most obvious for being able to do transmission and things like that.
Right.
But when you look at anything that has to do with a ledger or a registry, when you think about home ownership, when you think about your insurance policies, when you think about your birth certificate, when you think about anything that has to do with being able to create a trail of history, the blockchain becomes the most ideal solution because it's able to just continue on forever. Whereas the systems that we have today are really temporary, and they're able to be easily hacked or even disappear. And just with multiple systems everywhere, there's no one way to have that information accessible to everybody.
And as you said, it's a copy of a copy of a copy, and you've got all these copies redundantly.
Right.
Now, I've always pictured, Jonathan, maybe you can shed some light on this, but I've always pictured the blockchain as being just a pool filled with hashes. Like, the way you're describing it makes me feel like it is in and of itself a bit of a dark web, or, you know, able to carry and transmit data. Can you explain that to me?
So, yeah, it can absolutely be able to carry and transmit data. And the thing is that in a pool of hashes, what's happening there is that that's where you have the layer for the consensus mechanism, mm-hmm. and for the and for the replication of the ledger, right? These are the two elements that have to do with the blockchain itself. But there's a smart contract layer, right? And when you look at the smart contract capabilities, if this, then that, and being able to program in all these types of variations of what could happen or what you want to happen to execute, then that opens up a world of possibilities of taking anything that's on your phone today that's an application, being able to have that operate decentralized and no longer needing the operator or the company which created it dictating to you how that decentralized application is going to work. Instead, the people who own it are all the people that use it, and they can actually be able to determine what kind of features and functions need to go into this to make it the best that it is. So what this does is it actually eliminates the need for any kind of competition, because once there's an application that has lots of users using it in the blockchain space, it makes almost no sense to try to create something else, because anything that someone else creates can easily be adopted to the existing blockchain application that's doing the same thing, and just be able to make the changes quickly with all the users' consensus. So you're going to see a whole different way for people to participate in being able to be a part of what's out there in services, instead of this company consumer type of thing. It is the peer-to-peer economy where everybody is working together and able to have a piece of what's going on.
I do see that the chat room has some more questions for us. Just circling back before we get into a couple of those, to that Facebook question that happened just before the break, what you're describing to me sounds like, because we're all very concerned about our data's privacy and things like that. So I'm kind of grasping that the blockchain is going to allow for technologies to exist, say, like Facebook. So if we can use Facebook as the example where, hey, it's a communication platform and has a lot of data about us, but that data can be decentralized, can be in a million places at once, and yet only in one place, only accessible in one place.
Only authorized by you.
Right. With my private key.
Exactly.
That is mind-bendingly amazing. Like, I know the blockchain is exciting, but I'm trying to get my head around this. Let's jump over to the chat room. Jeff, Sasha, what do you have for our guest Jonathan tonight?
Yeah, so we have a question from the Foo, and he wants to know, how is tracking via the blockchain different than tracking with GPG-signed messages?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
How is tracking via blockchain different than tracking with GPG signed messages?
So tracking via blockchain versus tracking, do you say PGP signed messages?
GPG.
Oh, GPG. Okay, sorry. So tracking, so this comes back to the question of, I guess, in regards to privacy, if this is the nature of the question.
Yes.
I think yeah. To do with, and the Foo, correct me if I'm wrong, but to do with the ability for the blockchain to be tracked, like say a monitor, we think about Cambridge Analytica and being able to glean all this information. Well, what can be gleaned from the blockchain? How is it different than the other technologies that are out there that allow us to share information in an encrypted format, in a private format?
So in terms of being able to track information, blockchain is very elegant in regards to being able to see where everything originates. It's very, very transparent. Contrary to a lot of popular belief that it's actually something that is anonymous per se, the ability to be able to actually see everything that's going on is a large part of what makes it so unique and so trusted by everybody. Because you can trace back where, in the Bitcoin example, you can trace back where Bitcoin started from wallet to wallet to wallet to wallet until you can see where it actually originated. So it's really not that, it's really not about being able to have everything hidden, but it is about being able to be transparent in a different way. I'm not suggesting that everything that we do on the internet is going to be open to everybody, but it is a different type of network where information is so accessible to everybody, it's no longer of value to anyone. I don't know if that makes a lot of sense.
I think we've kind of covered, yeah, and Jeff's given me the nod, like, yeah, I think that answers the question. Does the chat room have any other questions for us tonight, Jeff?
Not that I'm seeing, but I had a question, and just you were talking a little bit about other areas that the blockchain would come into play, and I'm thinking, could it be used for something like, every country has a passport, and every country is able to process those passports. Could you take something like international travel and having identifiable, details about yourself that could be into a blockchain, could you use it in a capacity like that outside of a computer running algorithms, or is it strictly tied to computer and technological based means?
So we're talking about ID verification, and ID verification, I would say, is an important element to what is needed in the blockchain space today. ID doesn't really need blockchain, but blockchain needs ID. And When it comes to passports, that's an excellent example of an application which could be used for international travel. It would make it so much easier for countries around the world to be able to validate passports. The possibility of being able to have fraudulent passports becomes impossible. So the entire industry of being able to have fake passports and things like that is gone. Because it's all validated, it's all part of a consensus network, which is true. So this is going to make for international travel to be faster, more efficient, easier, and also overall safer. In that instance, that is a good example of an application for blockchain. Once again, a registry, which definitely can be replaced with blockchain function. The technology is important in regards to the cryptographic security of being able to create the chain itself. Mm-hmm. But then you have to have the other three elements that I talked about. You have to have your consensus, you have to have your incentive structure, and you have to have the smart contracts. So if we can make it so that something like that existed decentralized, then I guess that's where, in this case, countries issuing passports all agreeing to using a particular blockchain, then we could see that happen.
Cool.
All I ask is 1% of the royalties if your company makes it happen. That's all I ask for.
Yeah. You're...
Sounds good.
If we can get them to agree on that. And we've got a couple of witnesses here tonight. So we're speaking with Jonathan Bahai. He is the founder of XBlock and specializing in the blockchain technology itself. I feel like an absolute geek here tonight because this has been a lot of fun. I mean, I admit, and informative, and we've learned a lot tonight. Jonathan, I appreciate the time very much. Before we wrap up our interview tonight, could you share with us some vision of what the future looks like based on blockchain technology? What is to come?
Wow. So there's going to come a day, not too far in the near future, where you're going to find yourself using your phone. It's going to become more so tying to biometrics, that your private key is going to be tied to your own personal biometrics. And when that happens, that's going to become your own ID, per se.
Nice.
And as you once that's established, that protocol for being able to establish a private key and keep it secure to your person, then you're going to start to see a big switchover of being able to have decentralized applications which are going to exist on your phone that are going to allow you to actually partake in them and be able to actually share in the revenues that are derived from them instead of just being an end consumer. You're going to start to be able to participate in the building of these applications. You'll be able to actually make suggestions for the way things should work and actually have them happen. This is going to allow for a lot less competition and a lot more cooperation. You're going to see an ability to be able to transact worldwide in a peer-to-peer fashion that has never been seen before. And with that, it's going to force these regulations and walls that have been created to be able to stop the flow of business or goods, to be able to just flow around the world freely. It's just, it'll be like a tsunami that the governments around the world aren't going to be able to keep up with and that the people are going to demand. I think that this isn't necessarily about the excitement of the tech. I think this is the excitement of being able to actually make the world a better place and being able to have a tech that enables and empowers everybody to be able to do that. So my company, XBlock, we're one of the very first that are really dedicated to creating the solutions that we believe are going to surround that type of activity in the world. And I'm really hoping that more companies are going to see that that's where the future is and that's where they should be headed.
Awesome. Jonathan, it's been great having you on the show. Check out their website. I've got it below. I mentioned it at the top of the show. It is spelled EXEBlock and .com. And check them out. Find out more. Jonathan, pleasure. And thank you so much for sharing more information than I could have imagined that we could have fit into this amount of time.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. All right. This is Category 5 Technology TV. Wow. I'm just unbelievably blown away by the technology, the knowledge, the information. I personally want to rewind things and go back over this interview, and I think perhaps you at home should do the same. And I think that this technology we're going to see is going to be something that is not just for the tech geek. This is something that we're going to see breaking into the world for mom and dad and everybody else. Stay tuned. We're going to be seeing that happen over the next little while. Are you having fun? Are you learning?
I am learning.
Okay.
I feel like the new kid on the block here. I'm the new kid on the blockchain.
new kid on the blockchain. Wow. She coined that right here. We've got the t-shirts on sale now.